You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for November 18th, 2022. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where a week when Sarah Palin loses and Katie Porter wins is a good week. It's the Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Blue Gal. You know what I hate about this time of year, Blue Gal?
What do you hate about this time of year?
I hate that it's barely past Halloween and Thanksgiving is only a week away, and yet everywhere you look, people are already putting up their Republican rebranding decorations. I hate that. I just hate that, but they're everywhere.
And Josh Hawley is leading the pack on that.
Yeah, he is.
Republican Party is dead. We need a whole new Republican Party led by me.
Yeah, led by me, Josh Hawley. With one hand in the air and my Proud Boys behind me, and let's all forget about that. And we'll do, you know, we'll do a whole bunch of that.
The great erasure. Yes.
It's already happening. And I've already gotten requests about, could you possibly do an entire podcast on the rebranding and the rebranding? Uh-huh. I said, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Sure, we can.
We know how it's going to work.
Well, and I think we're going to have to do, and you know, we have a long list now of No Fair Remembering stuff. We're going to have to do Glenn Beck. We're going to have to do Iraq War. I think we can even do Iran-Contra. I think that would be a really interesting one to do.
I know that there's one vote out there for Glenn Greenwald, but it's my vote, and I think we shouldn't do it.
Well, you might have to edit that one on your own.
Yeah, I'm going to need a lot of help taking all the swearing and all
whole, the whole Glenn Greenwald thing is such a sausage fest. He bores me. That's all I have to say. I've said that before. Glenn Greenwald bores me, that's how I feel about it.
Yes.
Driftglass. So let's do the housekeeping.
All right.
Next week, we have another No Fair Remembering stuff coming on Tuesday.
We do? True.
We might do so that no one panics, we might do a little happy Thanksgiving. Hope everybody has a happy, fulfilling Thanksgiving.
Right. 10 minutes.
10 minutes for Thanksgiving, but we're not going to do an actual show. And then we'll be back the following week.
Yeah.
And I think we're hoping, I don't say hope, that's not the right word, but we believe that we may have exhausted our David Brooks by episode 5
of
David
Brooks. Maybe.
Our 5-part series on David Brooks. Although, you know, Netflix often goes with 6 parts, so.
I'm just saying.
It's 17 years of archives that Driftglass is using to run this series. So. Well,
and it really is like. I don't know. Martin Scorsese shooting a million feet of film and trying to put together a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
And sometimes you end up with The Godfather and sometimes you end up with The Irishman, which is, you know, 18 hours long. And I know that there's a hunger out there for the Zack Snyder cut of the David Brooks career. And I don't want to do that. I really don't. But he is such a perfect barometer of everything that's wrong and all the privilege that's given to horrible people. And you build up your momentum, you build up a head of steam, like, Jesus, this guy's a fucking monster. I mean, really, he's just an absolute lying monster.
You can listen to the David Brooks series to continue this thought. But it is true that as we have been covering this, I personally have, for the first time, I think, in many years, said, okay, but what is David Brooks saying today?
Yeah.
And gone and, you know, I usually don't peek under that.
No, why bother?
Myself, because I figure my husband's doing it. Uh-huh. But I mean, the latest column was the fever is breaking and he's comparing Donald Trump and his racism and, you know, a total obliteration of the Republican Party to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the left and the right.
It is not, as I said before, it's not a lifestyle, honey. It's a pathology. And it is something that, you know, it is a creepy, really creepy how it just never dies. It just never dies.
Yeah.
And it, nor does it die anywhere else in the media. I mean, we're going to talk about Selena Zito in about 30 seconds.
Yeah,
Lord knows. Guess what's back in with a vengeance, like a little black
Let's get right into that. Let's get right into that. Because earlier this week, I said to Driftglass, now listen, this week, while we're getting ready to do the podcast and while we're absorbing media and as we do, let's keep an eye out specifically for anyone on the right or the left, Driftglass, saying, or in the mainstream media, saying this is about a lack of a Democratic mandate.
Sure.
Because regardless of how well Democrats overperform or how badly Republicans underperform, it is always a lack of a mandate for Democrats.
Yeah.
So I said, please keep an eye out on that because it's coming. We know it's coming. So let's listen for it. And when we find it, let's make sure we podcast about it.
Right.
And I really did figure that we would find one this week.
Yep.
What I didn't realize was that the past Saturday, you know, 3 days earlier, Selena Zito had been, you know, professional Trump voter whisperer, Selena Zito, of the highly reputable Washington Examiner. No, none of that is true. But she had a spot on Fox Weekend, and she claimed that both parties should learn a lesson from the midterm results and work together.
Together. We should work together. Mm-hmm.
Neither party got a mandate, Zito said. Neither party got an overwhelming win. Voters were telling them to slow down and work together.
That's what they were saying.
That's what they were saying.
Right.
And this is erasing what was supposed to be a red wave, what was supposed to be they're going to gain 30 seats in the House. We're going to bulldoze everybody and take the entire Congress back.
Right. And then impeach Joe Biden.
Right. And that'll be it. We'll be done. Well, the Speaker of the House, you know, under Republican leadership will be the president, or we'll reinstall Trump, or we'll do something. But we're going to take over everything.
And that will be our mandate because we are going to sweep to
power. We will definitely have a mandate to do to destroy the Biden administration in the crib. We'll be able to do it. Right.
Right. Just like we did with the Obama administration.
Right. Exactly. And we're going to just bulldoze everybody. And so Selena Zito's rebranding of the midterms was both sides.
Right.
Didn't learn, need to soul search. Mm-hmm. The Chiron said soul searching on both sides. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
John Amata wrote a post at Crooks and Liars about this. And in the post, it says, Selena Zito should be forced to sit in a room with Marge Green and the rest of the Freedom Caucus and convince them to slow down and work with Democrats because both sides.
Yeah. Like I said, it never dies. It never dies.
No, nope.
And there's always a market for it. And there's always a market for it, partially because there are enough cowards and morons and grifters out there who really, really don't want to pick a side, or they're on the run from the GOP.
I think we on the Democratic side need to consciously and passionately ignore that you don't have a mandate BS.
Oh, yeah. No.
And I'm very glad to see in the New York Times today that Democratic advocacy organizations are getting ready to push back with ads and some serious money. Because we do not believe in unilateral disarmament. We would like to see campaign finance reform and an end to Citizens United.
Yes.
But if these are the rules, we're going to push back. And we need to curb stomp these assholes.
Yeah, we do. We do.
All these investigations, this Hunter Biden laptop and investigate Fauci and impeach Biden and all this other BS, it should be to their detriment. And we are going to push back hard on this.
Yeah.
So there's going to be money to do that, and we need to amplify that voice. And you know we will here at the Professional Left Podcast.
Yeah, as far and as wide as our voices can travel. And this week I did dip into the They're Doing It Again file because, you know, history just keeps on repeating itself, Blue Gal, like a record skipping over and over again. Mm-hmm. And this week there was a big, bold N-O period headline in America's most respected journal of white supremacy, the National Review, which I got to say, after slathering praise all over Donald Trump for packing the courts with crackpots and cutting taxes for the wealthy, and then taking a side shot at the quote unquote feeble Joe Biden, because the only reason that the feeble Joe Biden won was Donald Trump had made all these mistakes, they reluctantly concluded that Donald Trump shouldn't be the GOP's 2024 nominee for president because, you know, he'd be bad. He'd be bad for conservatism. Somehow, the National Review failed to mention that they published an equally bold and equally unequivocal rejection of Trump in January of 2016, entitled Against Trump.
Yeah, it was like a cover story.
It was. Right. It was a special edition.
Yeah.
They published a special against Trump because he was, you know, Trump, and he would be bad for conservatism.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Trump mowed down every respectable Republican in the primaries, the National Review folded like freshly laundered Klan robes. Boom. Down they went, and they've stayed in his back pocket all this time, occasionally popping up and saying, well, you know, going on Meet the Press with Joanne Reed after the Charlottesville riot, saying, well, you know, both sides did it. You know, yeah. Both sides. Yeah, he should have denounced white nationalism, but the anti-fascists are just as bad, you know. And, you know, it's just a matter of time. If Trump gets the nomination, they will do what Rich Lowry always does, crawl right back up his asshole, and yep. Chuck Todd will put him right back on Meet the Press. And until that entire system is burned to the ground, this is never going to stop.
Right. One of the things I want to talk about on the topic of after the midterms, Drift Glass, is what Fox News and MSNBC are. Because their approaches leading up to the midterms were very different. And I think that matters. MSNBC was like Bill Murray in Scrooged. You know, the CEO sitting in the boardroom saying, I want people to be so scared they're going to miss the end of democracy in the midterms that they cannot not watch. They have to watch us because we're all clinging by our teeth to democracy.
Do you realize how bad things are? How scary everything is, right? Yeah, I yeah. got it. I got it. Okay,
yeah,
I got it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know.
Well, now that fear was justified. We did not know.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
You know, if all of those Secretary of States had been elected,
mm-hmm. bye-bye.
Game over, right. Mm-hmm. So it was justified, but their approach also included a lot of get out the vote information.
Got to give them credit.
So, yeah, I mean, they took it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Fox News, as we've learned, repeated their happy cheerleading, just like they did in 2012. Romney is going to win in a landslide, and it's going to be a red wave. Oh, it's going to be a glorious red wave, glorious mm-hmm. red wave. Everybody's ready for the red wave. Yay. And as I said to you this morning, you know, those of us with bad knees, If you're a Republican voter and all you hear is, oh, it's going to be a glorious red wave, well, maybe your knees prevent you from going to the polls.
Do I really need to get out of my Barca lounger and stop watching Sean to go vote? Probably not.
Yeah,
because it's going to be a red
wave, you know.
Yeah, it's in the bag. It's in the bag. Yeah.
So that smug bragging kept their viewers happy, but it did not, it appears, bring them out to vote in the same numbers that terrified Democrats showed up to the polls.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also they kept insisting that nobody cares about abortion.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about democracy.
Right.
And we're just not even going to talk about it because it's
crime and the economy and rainbow fentanyl in everybody's right. Halloween bag is what really matters.
And,
right.
And abortion is so August 2022. You know, mm-hmm. nobody pays attention to that. Either the ladies will shut up and do what we tell them to do. Don't right. worry about
and
that.
And just because they are, and this is a term that you and I grew up with, Drift Glass, the silent mm-hmm. majority.
Yeah.
Which was a bad thing under Nixon.
Yeah.
Is turning out to be, I mean, they don't want to, I think the average woman very upset about losing bodily autonomy doesn't want to have to confront Nazis in the street.
No.
Doesn't want to have a fight at the grocery store with some MAGA nut because that endangers your life.
Right.
Because they're going to go to the polls and vote. But getting back to Fox and MSNBC, you know, it is not Fox's job to elect Republicans. It's Fox's job to pretend to elect Republicans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And their goal is not winning elections. It's winning ratings. So they will hold on to all of their viewers with own the libs predictions. And when those fail, they'll follow up that failure with intense grievance. And I love the term, you know, angertainment.
Mm-hmm.
That one of the winning Democratic candidate said, angertainment is what it is. So the House went to the Republicans by the same slim margin that Democrats held the House last time. So it looks like we've got 2 years of Hunter Biden bullshit ahead of us. But I hope, as I said, that we treat it with the same scorn and derision that we treated Trump's Mar-a-Lago announcement.
Yeah.
This is lame. This is boring. This is a waste of taxpayer money and a show for Fox News.
And this is these are the death throes of a dying political party.
Yeah. Right. So, and I do wonder what Donald Trump's haul was from his announcement.
Yeah.
Now that he's an announced candidate, he's supposedly got to report all of that to the FEC, and it will be on opensecrets.org if he declares it. Now, as Common Dreams noted this week, a day ahead of his expected 2024 announcement, Donald Trump was hit with a campaign finance complaint that accuses him of unlawfully transferring a colossal sum of money, $20 million, from his leadership PAC to a super PAC that spent millions on this year's midterms and is positioned to spend millions more on Trump's presidential bid. That's illegal.
Yeah.
But the FEC is half Republicans and has no teeth, and he is doing what he can get away with the money. And the question is, are people aware enough that this is a grift? He's doing it to raise money to keep his businesses afloat, and he's doing it in the mistaken belief that he can hold off, you know, the attorney general in New York, which he cannot. We'll see what the attorney general of the United States does. That case is going on, though. I noticed that someone reported that Weisselberg was on the stand today in New York and cried. They made Alan Weisselberg cry on the stand, Drift Glass. Yeah,
that's so sad. I'm sorry. We should all take a moment. just a moment.
To think about Alan Weisselberg crying.
Do you have a sound effect that might go with that, Blue Gal?
I do.
Okay, thank you. We're getting good at this. It's only been 640 episodes. We're getting good at this.
676.
I know. We're getting up towards the 700 range, and I think with that we get a free hoagie.
Free hoagie. Nice. Yes.
We promised you last week that we were going to spend some time talking about the road ahead for the Republican Party, and specifically about the immutable limitations on that road ahead. Things that are just not negotiable. Now, I did a lot of baking this week. Believe it or not.
Yes, you did. Yummy, yummy.
So let's just say all you have in your pantry is sugar and flour, butter, salt, and eggs. And you can still make a lot of things with those ingredients. You can make shortbread or pound cake or puff pastries, pancakes, tortillas, a whole bunch of stuff. But you cannot make a bridge out of it, or a car, or a spaceship. And similarly, the available ingredients in the Republican basket radically limits what any changes to the party can possibly look like.
And I really love this analogy you came up with at your blog of it being like Chopped, where you open a basket and you have to use all the ingredients. And as Driftglass wrote at his blog, the Republican Party is Chopped, except the basket is full of Tucker Carlson's Dan Bongino's and those fuck your feelings assholes. And they're going to have to find a way to use all of these ingredients to build a winning coalition.
Yeah.
And the ingredients in the basket are the four M's: money, media, party machinery, and the mob. And because, you know, even Josh Hawley can't come up with new sources for any of these essentials, anyone trying to cobble together a competing Republican Party, a brand new shiny Republican Party, we have to build it up from the ground up.
That's right, man.
They're going to have to use the mob, the party machinery, the media they have, and, of course, money. And as for the media, as the past 6 years have proven, any Republican who comes within a mile of suggesting that Donald Trump is a shithead is guaranteed to become a Beltway media darling, as long as they ride the party line of, on January 6th, Trump did a bad thing, but overall, his administration was awesome, and we should keep going where he led us. If they say that, you know, more in sorrow than in anger, we have to move on from Donald Trump because he all his policies were great. They'll pick up a lot of support from the Fox News conservative radio world.
By the way, that was the gist of the National Review article.
Yeah.
He delivered on all these great things, but, you know, he did a bad thing. And so we should just keep moving in that wonderful direction that he scouted out for us. But he's really not the guy to do it. Us.
It's a branding problem.
They never liked the tweets, Blue Gal. They never liked the tweets. Now, as to the mob, remember that the mob is the party. They're called the base for a very good reason, because they're the foundation on which everything else is built. All of conservative media, every Republican political career, the autocratic dreams of every mega donor. All of those things are built on the base. And the defining feature of the base of any future Republican Party will continue to be a seething hatred of the left. And left, the word left, will continue to mean whatever the Republican Ministry of Propaganda needs it to mean at any given moment. Also, the average Republican would choose death by 1 million spider bites over ever admitting they were ever wrong about anything. No kidding. They cannot do it. Incapable of doing it. And finally, the GOP base will continue to be a shit pile of bigots and imbeciles who will go reliably ballistic should anyone ever hint that they are, in fact, bigots and imbeciles. So, the trick to recruiting this powder keg of rage and racism and grievance and denial is to avoid speaking the ugly truth about them at all costs. Instead of any competing Republican Party must manufacture an alibi for the mob's behavior over the past 6 years, which would come to a tasty myth that both flatters the egos of the mob and gives the Beltway media something it will happily spread around. A myth in which the base aren't a mob of knuckle-dragging racists who found their fascist messiah in Donald Trump, but are instead noble patriots who were cruelly misled into bad behavior by a wicked con man. A myth which sounds almost exactly like Liz Cheney's closing remarks at the January 6th hearing. And I quote, "Donald Trump knows that millions of Americans who supported him would stand up and defend our nation were it threatened. They would put their lives and their freedom at stake to protect her. And he is preying on their patriotism. He is preying on their sense of justice. And on January 6th, Donald Trump turned their love of country into a weapon against our capital and our Constitution."
As a mother and a patriot.
As a mother and a patriot, they're just wonderful.
I'm never
people.
Going to insult the Trump base.
Never.
It's not never. Their fault.
They're just misunderstood.
They're misunderstood. They're patriots who were taken advantage of.
That's right. They're just like your grandma and grandpa giving the Social Security away to preachers, to TV preachers. They were just conned. They were just taken. They couldn't change the channel. They couldn't find the truth out for themselves. They're incapable of getting up and using the remote or just shutting off Sean. It's not their fault that they're this way. They're just this way, and we must accept them as they are. Then, exactly as the GOP base did after the collapse of the Bush administration, they will pack away their Trump flags and their MAGA hats. And this is a quote from me from November of 2009. "Like German soldiers after the fall of Berlin, they have stopped running away from the catastrophe they created only long enough to burn their uniforms."
Just ask Adam Kinzinger. Kinzinger says in 10 years, he thinks, quote, "You're not going to be able to find a single person that admits to supporting or voting for Donald Trump in this country because they're going to be embarrassed because their kids are going to say, you actually supported Trump. Are you kidding me? Unquote. Which the very next day he scaled back to 5 years.
Yes, he did.
Quote, "I mean, it was a pretty solid hearing. We also nailed Trump as a stain on American history. In 5 years, nobody will be admitting they supported him," unquote.
Uh-huh. But you know what, Blue Gal?
What?
It won't be 10 years.
We all know how long it's going to be.
It won't be 10 years. It will not be 5 years. Nope. That was a mistake I made back in 2006 when I was young and optimistic and predicted that it would take 5 whole years for the GOP to blot out all memory of George W. Bush. Eradicating and revising recent Republican political history is going to be a little more complicated this time, since unlike Bush, Trump has no intention of quietly slinking off stage and taking up a new career as a really shitty painter. But you can rest assured that the media and the financial and political forces are, even now, quietly aligning to move Trump just far enough out of the limelight so that a newly upgraded Bush-off machine can be wheeled out to do its terrible work. In fact, an early upscale prototype of the Trump-off machine has already been in successful operation since 2016. Because the prime directive of the right was, is, and ever shall be that you and I, Blue Gal, and the rest of the left are the single greatest existential threat to the nation, and sooner or later, the base's love of Trump will be eclipsed by their undying hatred of us. And as Trump's grip on the party declines, those who have proven their bona fides by declaring that we on the left are pure evil will be ascendant.
It's just going to be interesting to see where the money comes from for this rebranding exercise, because we know where it came from. You know, Glenn Beck was paid $1 million to promote the Tea Party. So
yes, he was. Yes, he was.
They'll find somebody. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, the new liberal-hating ascendant class of Republican heroes will find no greater allies than all of those recently former Republicans who, surprise, have already successfully colonized MSNBC specifically and the media in general. If you've ever listened to them talking amongst themselves about the plight of the nation, they make no secret of their utter contempt for their quote-unquote allies on the left. They positively ache to get back to the good old profitable days when they could shit on the left without caveats and exceptions. And of course, the mainstream media will fall dutifully in line because at this point, they're so desperate to get back to singing from their Both Sides Do It hymnal, they're ready to anoint literally any Republican as serious and sensible who isn't publicly goose-stepping and throwing out Hitler salutes.
Mm-hmm.
And think about Chuck Todd. And how he's going to want to have sensible Republicans on his show 2023 and on.
Yeah. And if he can't, and since none of them exist, he'll just manufacture them, make them up, pretend the past didn't happen.
Asa Hutchinson will be on again. Yeah.
Sure.
As to the party machinery, well, that'll be the easiest of all. First, because the Trump administration has proven that most party functionaries will eagerly debase themselves. We're looking at you, Ronna Romney McDaniel.
And you, Lindsey Graham.
And you, Lindsey Graham, in the most humiliating way in exchange for money and status. And once a competing Republican Party has established that it has both Republican donor money and media clout, the resumes will come pouring in. And secondly, because the work of porting over much of the existing Republican Party middle management has already begun, thanks once again to all those never-Trumpers who have been rewarded with premium seating in the media.
Yeah, they have. And since our never-Trump allies have now set themselves up in the redemption business, as the sole regional distributor of political indulgences, they and only they will get to decide which Republicans are born again pure and ready to return to duty, and which of them have gone so far as to be beyond salvation. Now, I'm not sure of the timetable of this yet. It's not set because Trump himself is still a wild card. But I swear, sooner rather than later, you and I, Blue Gab, will wake up to find that our very good friends, our party over country friends, are, it's not all about left or right allies of convenience, have used the time they spent crashed on our sofa, eating our food and bitching about our housekeeping to forge a newer, sharper Republican axe with which to chop down everything we believe in.
Hmm.
And that's the road ahead.
That's our prediction.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's so much money in it.
There really
is. So much money in it.
And there's just no place else for the base to go. You can't just get rid of 60 million people. Yeah. You've got to put them somewhere, and someone over and over again on the right figures out all over again, over and over again, that pile of crazy and dangerous and racism is the key to success.
Yeah.
You can win elections all over the place with just appealing to the worst people in the country that have already been groomed for this by 40 years of GOP media and GOP politics.
So you want to play a game now, Drift Class? Is that what you want to do?
Well, you know how much I love playing games with my people.
I do.
Wife. Yeah. This is more of a PG rated game. So I have a quote for you. Okay. See if you can guess who said it. America needs a reckoning. That's not really his voice. Oh, I gave it away to him. If Trump were to slink off into the night, his supporters would never have to come to grips with what they and he have done to this country.
So it's a he.
Right.
And it's a never-Trumper, I take it.
Oh, of course it is.
Okay.
And of course, it's a never-Trumper with a very high-ranking media position. Because
right.
Because that's what they have now.
Lincoln Project or is he Bulwark?
He is frequently on the Bulwark, and he frequently supports the Lincoln Project.
All right, so tell me who it is.
It's good old Tom Nichols.
Oh, Tom Nichols.
Yeah.
All right.
Tom Nichols is worried that these people will be somehow allowed to pretend the past never happened, that they never knew Donald Trump. I'm like,
does he not know his own party?
I'm like, you are successfully describing the fucking Tea Party. Where? Oh, that's right. You were in Massachusetts during that period of time. And therefore, knew
that's
nothing.
That's how you get out of having any responsibility for anything.
I didn't know nothing about no Republican Party before 2016. But you've been a Republican since Nixon. How did? Well, and again, he's got a big megaphone. I'm glad he's saying this. I'm glad that all of our dear friends in the Never Trump movement are ripping off and replicating things that we've been saying for decades. The only problem I have is that they're going to turn this into a knife. They've already colonized the media. So now they get to control the message. And the message is all political debate will be between two poles. On one side will be Tom Nichols and Bill Kristol. On the other side will be Fox and Josh Hawley.
Yeah.
And we on the left, who basically framed this and explained this and critiqued this and told you this was going to happen, are going to be erased from the picture altogether, as will all of our concerns and all of our policies and all of our interests in the future for this country.
We can't let that happen, Driftglass.
No, I'm going to keep going on this podcast every
week.
That's
why we say chop wood, carry water. Absolutely.
Right. And hey, you know what? You know what? Here's a good – last week was a good week.
It was a good week, Driftglass.
A lot of people out there, every time the word both sides crops up on social media, just come down like a bag of hammers on it.
And we're so glad to see that.
We really are.
It does our hearts good to see that.
It really does. Shall we round up the news for these nice people?
Sure. The Bidening continues. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump, the twice impeached so-called former president who tried to overturn the 2020 presidential election, encouraged a deadly insurrection at the Capitol, and is the subject of multiple criminal investigations and grand juries, not some Jim Jordan committee.
No.
You know, actual law
crimes.
Stuff.
Actual real crimes.
Actual crimes, actual investigations, has filed to run for president. And actually, it's the fourth consecutive time because he ran in 2000 also. So.
That's right. That's right. Well, not consecutive, the third consecutive.
Fourth time. Yeah. Well, consecutive. Third consecutive time.
And in late-breaking Trump family news, Donald Trump's daughter, wife Ivanka, announced during the middle of her daddy's speech that she decided she was quitting politics now, didn't want to do nothing
because
about
of
that
her,
no more.
Her young children, who, as Stephen Colbert pointed out, were younger when she worked in the White House.
They're not Benjamin Button kids. They're not aging backwards.
They're not Benjamin Button kids. The state of Alabama diverted $400 million in COVID funds to help pay for the construction of three mega prisons.
Priorities. The Customs and Border Protection Commissioner resigned after a standoff with Joe Biden's Homeland Security Secretary. Chris Magnus initially refused to step down after both Alejandro Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, and the department's Deputy Secretary asked him to resign.
U.S. intelligence reports that the United Arab Emirates attempted to steer U.S. foreign policy in its favor through a series of legal and illegal activities. The classified report reveals that the UAE spent more than $154 million on lobbyists since 2016 to exploit the vulnerabilities in American governance. Vulnerabilities since 2016? Really? I wonder what those were.
Golly.
As well as hundreds of millions of dollars on donations to American universities and think tanks.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not seeing a whole lot of that money on this end of the pipeline.
No.
As you might have read in the newspapers this week, Democrats won the Senate, while Republicans will take control of the House with a razor-thin majority.
House Republicans wasted no time announcing an investigation into Hunter Biden's business dealings.
No kidding.
Quoting Representative James Comer, "We want to know what the Biden administration is trying to hide from the American people."
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Benghazi.
It's all Benghazi all the time. That's all they know how to do, and that's all their base wants. A federal appeals court blocked Biden's student loan forgiveness program while it considers a lawsuit brought by six Republican states to end the policy.
Republicans alone are trying to stop this program.
Mm-hmm.
The Biden administration warned of an historically large increase in federal student loan delinquency and defaults without its forgiveness plan. The Education Department stopped accepting applications for its student loan forgiveness plan last week after a judge in Texas, guess which party, called the policy unconstitutional and struck it down. Approximately 18 million borrowers are eligible. This is Obamacare all over again.
It really is.
This is just ripping people's hearts out.
Mm-hmm.
18 million borrowers are eligible to have their federal student loans discharged in their entirety under the program. These same borrowers are most in jeopardy of defaulting.
Mm-hmm. In Georgia, Fulton County Superior Court Judge Robert McBurney overturned a six-week abortion ban, ruling that key parts of the law were, quote, plainly unconstitutional when drafted, voting upon, and enacted. As a result, abortions will, for the first time since July, be legal in Georgia up to 22 weeks of pregnancy, effective immediately.
That's going to save lives.
It really
will. Save women's lives, yeah. Trump has filed suit against the January 6th committee to avoid cooperating with its subpoena for documents and his testimony. He's just buying time until the House is taken over by Republicans.
Yeah, that's all this is. It's stalling. Trump also claimed in a separate court filing that the highly sensitive national security documents he stole were his personal property because he said so. The Justice Department, however, said that Trump cannot deem the records personal, quote, simply by saying so, and accused him of engaging in a, quote, shell game to shield documents from criminal investigators.
Then go and arrest him.
Go and arrest him now. You know, to quote Keith Olbermann, arrest him now while you still can.
According to a report by the House Committee on Oversight and Reform, officials from six nations spent more than $750,000 at Trump's hotel in Washington while they were trying to influence U.S. foreign policy in 2017 and 2018.
A federal judge struck down a Trump-era policy used to expel more than 1 million migrants at the nation's southern border.
And the fact that we're keeping the Senate means Biden judges. Biden, yes. Judges.
Biden judges. Biden judges.
Facebook fact checkers will stop checking Trump after presidential bid announcement. According to a company memo obtained by CNN, Facebook's fact checkers will need to stop fact checking former President Donald Trump following the announcement that he is running for president. So he's got that going for him.
Yeah. And finally, a missile fired by either Russia or Ukraine accidentally struck across the border in Poland, killing two people. Various spokespersons are still trying to sort out exactly what happened, but the consensus opinion is that Russia is either directly or indirectly at fault, and this will not precipitate World War III. So we've got that going for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
why don't you read the local news, Driftglass?
We have local news thanks to alert listener David. Hello, David. Who brought this story to our attention, which is from the State Journal Register. Man faces first-degree murder charge in connection with fatal I-55 crash near Springfield. Shane Jason Woods, 44, of Auburn, Illinois, was indicted on six criminal counts, including first-degree murder, for a fatal wrong-way collision on I-55 near Springfield on November 8th. Woods, also known as Shane Castleman, had already pleaded guilty in federal court in early September to assaulting a law enforcement officer along with other charges during the, wait for it, deadly January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, and was scheduled to be sentenced in federal court on January 13th, 2023, on a related federal assault charge on a member of the news media.
And there's more to the story in that he was overheard saying what he wanted to do was escape the cops and crash into a tractor trailer and kill himself. You end up killing two people by driving the wrong way on I-55.
Yep.
And I mean, this points to something that someone else said on Twitter, which is, you know, this we're just deer in the headlights. We were just doing at January 6th, we were supporting our country. Uh-huh. And, you know, we're innocent of being evil. No, these guys were messed up people.
Yeah.
Who were given a call to come and do violence. And they wound up doing violence.
And this
they're
podcast,
not good people caught in the crossfire of whatever.
No.
Sake of their country, patriots, blah, blah, blah.
And if he wanted to end his life, and this podcast will never advocate that, and we always tell people, call a suicide hotline, call a support hotline immediately. But there are 100 ways of doing it quietly without hurting anyone else. This asshole wanted to drive the wrong way down the highway.
You wanted to go out in a blaze of glory.
You wanted to be a human bomb and take somebody else out with them.
Right.
Because that's the kind of rat brain these people have.
Yeah. So, on a happier note, each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Charlie. Charlie's Human writes, "Charlie literally showed up at my door. I knew her for weeks before I fed her and let her in, but now we are inseparable. I think it's all thanks to freshly poured cat food." Well,
of course.
You know, Charlie looks so much like our Olive, who showed up at our door and got to know our other cat, Barack Hussein, the Kenyan usurper, through the window for several months. And then it turned really cold outside, and I was in a panic because I thought Driftglass isn't going to want another cat. And I feel so terrible, but I really want to bring this kitty inside. And Driftglass said, he quoted Bridge on the River Kwai. He said, "I have already given the order."
Already given the order. Well, I had three young people who I love dearly, and my wife, who I love dearly, looking at me like, "You're not going to let that cat stay outside all winter, are you?" Like, well, okay.
And then Olive, young all black kitty, walked in the house, had a little something to eat, used the litter box, and lay down on the rug. And I said, "Oh, you can stay."
Oh, this is okay.
You're fine.
You're an easy kid. Got it. You know the routine.
He is the most, you know, in terms of hygiene, in terms of behaviors. Yeah. He is a parkour kitty. That's really the only behavior we kind of have to deal with. He jumps on top of door frames and
me.
You know, yeah, he's kind of crazy that way.
But he runs
Charlie is his sister from another mother,
I swear. Yeah.
And we love Charlie. And so we guarantee you, Charlie, that the reason you're there is freshly poured cat food, because freshly poured cat food is our fake sponsor. Whether you serve pet store perfection or dollar store dreck, your cats will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. And you can visit Charlie at our Facebook page or website. And you can send your internet kitty, dog, or other pet to us. We love Christmas pictures if you celebrate. Hanukkah cats are welcome. Kwanzaa cats are welcome. Whatever you have, holiday pets pictures, we would love to have them for over the holidays. Send us whatever you have, and send it to proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service Go Postal Union's letter on the air, unless you say otherwise. Now, we have a few extra minutes here, Driftglass. I'd like to bring something up that's kind of unexpected that happened this week.
Okay.
As you know, we've been doing, for the past few weeks, two podcasts a week instead of one.
Yes, we have.
And they have been practice sessions for what we hope will be a weekly, two times a week podcast, doing No Fair Remembering stuff on Tuesdays and our regular podcast Thursday, Friday. We got a message, an email from our podcast host, Buzzsprout, which noticed that our listeners per week had doubled. And the reason it doubled is because we're doing two shows. It's not anything, you know, it's not an accident, right?
No, that's right.
Most of you, and we thank you for this, most of you are listening to both shows.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. We're grateful for that. But that means, as far as Buzzsprout is concerned, you guys doubled your listenership. Your impressions are double.
So what you're saying, let me make sure I understand this.
Uh-huh.
to increase our perceived listenership, we need to do instead of two long, well thought out, well done podcasts, so we need to do 16 very
16
small podcasts, 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes max, and we're gonna have Olbermann crooked media level listeners within months.
No.
Okay. All right.
No, but we caught their attention. Let me put it that way. We caught their attention that all of a sudden, instead of 4,000 to 5,000 listeners a week, we have 8,000 to 10,000. And that means something to them. And so they have a program where they'll put ads on our show for other podcasts.
Right.
We would love to support other podcasts in any event. We get to clear who we're not. we're not going to advertise Charlie Kirk, okay? We're not going to be... Joe Rogan is out of luck.
This is the Mark Levin podcast with special guest Laura Ingraham. How are you doing, Laura? I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
So, you know.
Yeah. You're not going to get us interrupted by that.
I do a little voice work on the side.
I would like to get some feedback from you guys. So is it going to flip you out and make you mad to hear an ad for another podcast on our show? Yeah. It is going to be midstream. They're going to interrupt our show, find a place to interrupt our show and put the podcast in there. Right. So put the ad in there. So, I mean, you know how to fast forward, you know how to do all those things. I want to hear from you before we commit to anything like that.
Yeah, because it would be as if we got a couple more Patreons.
Well, that's the point. We're not going to hit our 300, it looks like. We would like to be able to do this show every week. The money that would come in from Buzzsprout would compensate for that.
Not
entirely, but it would be help. It would be money in our pocket. And so, yeah, we would like to be able to fund the second show and make it worth our while, because we love doing it. But financially, we also have to put food on the table. And this is our job, as we say every week. I was thinking about getting a job outside doing this and like going to work for typing or doing something like that. And I don't want to do that. I want to do this. So, so if we can make that pay, but we also love our listeners and I want to hear from you as to whether that's okay with you. It would be advertising other podcasts, which is in sync with our values to do that.
Right.
That's important to us. I like that part of it. Anyway, so crowleftpodcast@gmail.com is where you can leave that feedback. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. Again, it's not charity. This is our job. Mm-hmm. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. PayPal, postal address information, it's all there at proleftpod.com. You can also get Both Sides Don't Bumper stickers.
You can. That's true. And t-shirts.
And t-shirts.
Mugs. Yeah. And you know what? The reason you can get all those things and more and more and more is that we have an angel nerd named Tammy, who takes really good care of us, who posts our stuff together.
Yep.
She's just amazing. Occasionally we forget that we do have some people out there who really are helping
amazing
us do
this. Amazing supporters and tremendous... Yeah. Tremendously good people. Yeah. Yeah. Please share our show on social media. And if you love this podcast, send us $5. That's a great way to let us know you liked a specific episode. And thank you for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties would like to stand up and salute Nancy Pelosi for having the biggest brass balls when it came to standing up to Trump.
And let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2022, DGBG Productions Incorporated.